We're now recording the exercise of Wednesday, the 22nd of April, morning session of Big Data Analysis, aka Applied Machine Learning. So for this exercise, I already said, well, I want you to try tree-based analyses, tree-based algorithms, where you see how well you can separate B quark jets from the light quark jets, just like yesterday. So you can base it on the same program, of course, make a copy and so on. But before we start on that, I would like to launch a little poll on the status of collaboration. Do you see a poll in front of you now? And if you do, please start filling out. All right, at least I see some people starting to fill out, which means it is available. And I can see we're 44 participants. We should at least get to 30 here before we count up. And meanwhile, if anybody has any questions, you're welcome to ask. And Sophie?
Yes, in question two, if you have yet to establish collaborations, blah, 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 I have to press something, even though I already have established connections from the question one.
That's me making a poor poll. I'm sorry.
Should I just press something or what?
Yeah. I plan to reach out today, should be the one, but...
Okay.
All right, but I see we're starting to be there. And actually, I hope that I can be sharing my desktop in this way, and you can see the poll as well. So I'm very glad to see that most of you have established communications, and with more than just one person. But for me, it's fine if you just say, look, here's my good friend, and we have worked together before, and we continue to do so. Of course, for the final project, we'll pair up teams of two, but for now, it just means you have somebody to write to if you don't understand a concept, or if you say, look, my code is broke. All right. So question two was perhaps, sorry, I didn't leave the option that you already established it. Question three, do you potentially have a group for the final project? And I again see that yes is the most prevalent answer.
Are we supposed to see
the poll? We can't see the poll.
Ah, you can't see the poll. Okay, how about, I should be sharing the entire, I don't like that. I share the screen, but it doesn't show the poll. That's weird. Let me end the poll. Can you see it now? Share results.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. So most of you established connections. That is great. Question two, I didn't leave the option of what if you already did. That was stupid of me. Sorry about that. For those who still haven't established connections and would like to do so, don't hesitate also to just write me a mail. Then do you potentially have a group for the final project, number three? And more than half says yes, and that's great, cool. And the maybe is also perfectly all right. You know, you may have talked about something and this could be an option and so on. For those who have a no here, just start thinking about it. But the final project is not yet. However, I would say it's good to think about it now, because what is usually the thing that takes a while is to see if you can obtain a good data set to work on. And this takes a little time, sometimes not just your own work, but others. All right, and you potentially have data for a final project, and here the prevalent answer is no. And the answer is, again, don't worry, we have some data. And now if you're a group, but you don't have data or project, then, well, it's time to think about it. All right. And then questions. Is there any way you can get data from CERN regarding research in dark matter? The answer is yes and no. The answer is you will already get that, because part of looking for dark matter is identifying electrons in the Atlas detector, and the small project is exactly about that. So for that, yes. In the longer run, it's a maybe, but actually a place that looks for dark matter as well is the Ice Cube experiment on the South Pole. And here, it's actually listed as one of the potential projects for final project. So using what's called graph neural networks, which is a new exciting type of neural networks. Okay, any more questions or comments? Or Haider, you raised your hand.
Yeah, so will we get example code like we did last time for these three algorithms, or?
Yes, but not to begin with.
Okay.
Cool. All right, if that's it, I'll stop sharing this thing. Well, I can share results. Let's see what happens when, stop sharing. That's just back and forth. Cool, we'll quit that. And yeah, if there are no other questions, then we start the exercise in general. And as always, the chat is open. And as I said, and as Asker writes, the LightGBM versus XGBoost has some code examples. So you're welcome to take from there. Scikit-learn also has some very, very simple examples that you can find. But don't hold back in the chat. Don't hold back in writing back and forth between each other. And don't hold back in sharing code. And don't hold back in writing Zoe and Carl. Cool, we're on. And I can say for the remaining time between now and noon, we'll have one more small poll, and we will also have the other thing we'll have in the afternoon. That's where we need it. And what are we training and testing on? Still the same data set as Monday, the B-Quark jet data sample from Aleph. And when am I going to put up the recorded lecture from today on the course webpage? As soon as possible. I put up the Monday one in the evening, and I intend to do that as well today for both lectures and exercise. And Jonathan, you can ask anything in the chat.
Can I ask you here? And
yeah. Go ahead.
It was regarding you had some loose and tight cut criteria in the code you uploaded in Jupyter Notebook.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how do you select those? How do you, is it just like a good guess or something? you look at the graph, so.
Yeah, yes, it is. And it's also from a line of thinking. Let's say you have two reasonably good variables. Then if the variable, just one of them shows that this is clearly signal, this is what I call the tight selection. Then I just say, all right, then I categorize you as signal. And that's for each of them. But let's say that the variable is not certain that it's signal, but it is suggestive, right? It's not 95% sure it's signal, it's 80% sure it's signal. Well, do you want to then include it? Well, if you have another variable, which is also 80% sure that it's signal, then suddenly, if both of those say signal, then you put it in. Those are the loose values.
Okay.
And so in cut space, you could say, if you look at it, that allows you to cut out, if you imagine a scatter plot of these two variables, then the loose one cuts out a whole stripe in each direction, whereas the tight is a combined one, cuts out a square that's bigger, but down and towards the corner of signal.
Okay, I didn't quite understand this. So the loose one is when you use both variables for the loose one, right? They both have to vote that it's, or have to say that it's signal, right?
Yep, I'm desperately trying to do the best I can with the lack of a trackpad. So, yeah. So if you have the two variables here, and you generally have signal in some region mostly and background in another region, then you make a cut on this variable and say, if it's above here, then it's signal. And on this variable above here, then it's signal. But since signal, let me just draw it again. And background, of course, extends out a little bit like this, then you might want to include something that, this is getting a complicated figure. Something that follows the blue here, where you say, I'm not going to go all the way out, but I'm going to select this region. Does that make?
Yeah, it's, but in the example in your code, you have like the probability of B quark and another variable, right? And they sort of overlap a lot.
Yeah, they're very correlated, and that's why this doesn't add one to one. It doesn't look like too much the drawing I had.
And then you make a 2D histogram to to have a more thorough look at it. And then you make the cut based on those or what?
I based the cut on the fact that it improved the result. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But it made it more clear. Thank you.
Cool. Now there are questions on how should you split the data. Well, the data is not that big. Some say 50-50. Some say 80% training, 20% testing. So I would say one can split 50-50, but typically 80% training and 20% testing is the norm. All right, I wrote a long contribution to the chat, and the point is very general. Remember that the data came in several versions and you were asked to check it. Well, version zero is a version where the same events were repeated over and over again. So there are only 100 distinct events. And this, of course, means that when you divide it into training and test, it will immediately, with 100 trees, learn all those events perfectly. And in test, it will see the same events. So that's the reason for that. And version one, I think I just made it 1,000. So you need to use version two of this. So make sure you're working on that. Otherwise, well, you won't get good results or reasonable results. All right. All right. Let me just interrupt shortly. Could you please put a no if you feel that you're getting nowhere with this? If this is going nowhere, please put a no there. Then at least we know who to help very specifically. I hope Carl and Zoe, you're taking notes. All right. And then the other point I wanted to make was in the discussion, in the chat. Yeah, Monday, some people put 6 to 7%, and not like we're going to chase them down and point our fingers at them, because I want this chat to be very open and a place where flaws can also be made. And surely throughout the course, I and others will also make flaws and write something that in hindsight is stupid. But around 9% is what I think is within the doable. And actually, regarding input variables, you shouldn't use the one called NNBJET, because this is in fact your competitor. This is a neural network from the 90s, which is the one you should compete against and see how well you can do it compared to that one. I can tell you that with selecting on variables, but running through a large phase space for getting a good cut, I think I got down to something like 9.6. And well, you can do better with machine learning, but there's a limit to how well you can do. And see, that's the point I want to make. For every problem, there's an inherent limit where there's simply not more information than available to get a better result. You can't do it better. And you should restrain yourself in trying to think, but I want to push this down to 6 or 7% or 4 or get it perfect, because, hey, there is an information limit here. And where is that limit? Well, it turns out that if you knew the multidimensional distribution perfectly of all these variables, and if the data set was large enough, I think it is here, then a likelihood with that can actually be proven to be the optimal thing. However, we almost never ever know the distributions, and we cannot build a likelihood out of this, a multidimensional likelihood. So how do we know it otherwise? Well, we don't. But if you run three different machine learning algorithms and they all give you a rock curve that lies on top of each other at some point, or you all get 9.4% out of your algorithm here, then the answer is probably that's where the limit lies around. And if somebody comes with a new algorithm which gets you know, twice as close to zero without adding any additional information, at least be suspicious. And also remember to be suspicious about your own algorithm, because, well, I've seen and done myself things where I suddenly had it 10 times better than others, and then the next day 100 times worse. It takes a little while before these sort of stabilize and you get a feel for it. Please keep posting comments, and then I'll also want to do something else. I just want to do a quick polling again. So now we're going to go to poll number 2. Please have a look at this over the next 2 minutes, and then we'll see if, what we get. I'll just be gone for the 2 minutes. All right, results coming in. I'll let it go for a little longer just to make sure that everybody gets a chance. So we'll run it a minute longer. Okay, I think we're about there. So let's end the poll. I'll share the result. Can you see it? So somebody says yes.
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 Cool. Okay, tree-based algorithms are great because I'm missing an R. Because they're invariant on the scaling and transformation of the feature values. Yes, they are. They're easy to train. Yes, they are. I hope that some of you who have gotten through with the training now, just with a simple model, have realized that once you get to define this capital X and capital Y, the feature input variables and the target, well, then it actually goes reasonably well. They give the most performant results. Well, not a lot answered that, and for a reason, they don't necessarily give the most performant result. So for the housing data, I would say they are probably giving the most performant result because that's so categorical, discontinuous, and with missing parameters that it would be it'd be hard to get a neural network to work well on that. However, on this BJET data, which are all continuous variables, here I would say this is where the neural networks would really have a good chance at beating the trees. They give models you can see by eye. Well, I like that less people answered yes to that simply because in principle, yes. In principle, you could do it with a neural network as well, but it's hard. They don't care about discontinuities and missing numbers and so on. Yes, that doesn't matter right here, but in general, it's very good. They're fast to train. Yes, they can handle a great variety of problems. Well, here I would say only with things that fits in an Excel sheet, you know, structured data. Trees are not very good at things which doesn't fit that bill. For example, handed an image and the tree is dead. Handed sound or text, trees are dead. So they're not that versatile, but we'll get more into that. They don't overtrain easily. In fact, they can. And I guess we had a case of it when the data was just repeated. There was a case of overtraining. Now, which tree-based algorithm are probably your favorite? And yes, I like the I don't know yet. That's what I'm here to find out. Cool. And then scikit-learn comes next. And that is for a good reason. Scikit-learn is a good, easy, well-documented package to start at. And then a few say XGBoost. And then there are two who say another one. Those who said that, don't hesitate to put it in the chat. I'd love to see what those two are. Cool. Any questions, comments? Okay, somebody said, Woody, this I don't know. And somebody said, random forests. And as it turns out that both scikit-learn and LightGBM actually have random forests in it. Woody, okay, developed a Deku. Okay, I didn't know that one. Yeah. They're entailed there as well. They're included there. But random forest is a good answer. Cool. We have a half an hour left of playing around with this, and then we take a break. Don't stop writing in the chat and asking questions and discussing with each other and writing code. All right, everyone. We're slowly approaching noon. Not that we need to cut sharply there, but I'm going to end this meeting and we're going to start a new one. And I'm going to end the recording and try to put them on the course webpage. It's getting sizable, but that's okay. I think the chat this time contained some good discussions and numbers. I'll, of course, also put that in. And then after, at 1:15, we always start 1:15, we'll start looking at an introduction to neural networks and continue playing around with those. That doesn't mean we have to stop right there with the trees and so on, but yeah, that's the plan. And yeah, are there any questions now or things that are strange or no? I don't see any hands. All right, but I see people floating hyperparameters for the different algorithms. And that is simply just great because typically those are the hard ones to get. And now you all know, I would have said it later, but no point in not saying it now. Whenever you write an algorithm that you're documenting, then make sure that the hyperparameters go in, you know, to your thesis or to the project, simply because if people want to reproduce what you did, and remember that's an essential part of science, then how can they do so if they don't know what the parameters of the algorithm you ran were? And worse yet, they might have to work very hard to get something that isn't the same anyway. So, and also, as I wrote on Wednesday next week, we'll talk specifically about how do you optimize those damn parameters. But for now, I'll leave you to it, and then I'll see you 1:15. Cool.